Good morning. It's been a few weeks since we were in our lesson themes in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount, which is from chapters 5 to chapter 7. And today we'll be pretty much in the middle of the sermon, where Jesus is going to discuss righteous acts done in secret. The sermon in Jesus' core teaching is to help us understand the qualities of what it is to be in God's kingdom and how our character is to be in that, because he mentions the Beatitudes in the beginning of his sermon, where the people who are blessed or God shows favor on are those who earnestly desire to seek him out in their lives. They're the ones who hunger and thirst. Not only are they broken, but they hunger and thirst for righteousness. So you'll see a theme here in Christ's will for us in understanding what righteousness is. And so when we get to chapter 6 from the end of chapter 5, where Jesus says, "Therefore be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect," it's not that we're going to be perfect beings, but that we can have the attitude, for us who have been in the faith for many, many years, striving to please God, we can mature. God wants us to be complete. That perfection means a completeness before him. So, chapter 6, he's going to emphasize three important private devotions. The first one being giving or charity. The second is prayer. And the third would be the fasting. So these are private devotions before God. This is really an intense thought, because so many times we like to believe we're good prayers. We pray to God. As people who believe in God, we pray to him. But it's interesting how in between, Jesus has the giving to the poor, that act of righteousness, and in between that prayer, the fasting. And so it's so easy to pray, but so much more challenging to show your acts of righteousness in a way that's secretive to God, of giving to people around you, the poor people, even meeting the needs of within God's church, as well as fasting, which that's something interestingly to talk about too in the future. But today we'll be in chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. That'll be our lesson text. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Today's lesson title is really the hidden life of a disciple. It's the hidden life, that part of our lives that not everyone sees. So we have four important points: walking in integrity, the wrong motive, the right motive, and our Father's reward for that motive. So walking in integrity, verse 1, being careful not to practice our righteousness before other people. True integrity, I don't know if I looked this up in a Webster's Dictionary or Maybe someone preached it to me a long time ago. But it's doing the right thing even when nobody is looking. It suggests moral innocence. This is before God. This is completeness. It's a sincerity of intention. Why the hidden life of a disciple of Jesus? These are aspects that not everyone's going to see you doing these things, but they have a huge significance in order for us to even be and go to heaven. It's not contradictory to Matthew 5:16 and the beginning of his sermon where he says, "Let your light shine." Why are we to let our light shine but yet do all these other things secretively? Because it's only so that others may see that they would be able to give glory to God. And what they see in us, even as a church, really, because we're the church of Christ. We're God's believers. We're the body of believers shining the light of God to people. But we still have an integrity to carry out in how we live. And that's why Jesus said, beware. Beware of practicing your righteousness. This is a responsibility of everyone who claims to be a Christian. Jesus gives the warning. Be careful how you're doing your righteous acts before God, because if we're doing it before other people, no matter how good we are, God's not impressed with that. Can you imagine God not being impressed with anything you did right? Yeah, if we do it before people and we're only out to please people, yes, God's not impressed with that. God rewards is for those who do their righteous acts for Him, serving and giving to others in secret. So walking in integrity as Christians describes the very environment of our lives, of who we are. It is a consistent manner of godly conduct, how we present ourselves and following through with the things that we tell people we're going to do, the promises and to God and the commitments. You know, Jesus said, "Come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Commitments. It's who a disciple of Jesus is. This is a person who is a disciple of Jesus. And then we have the wrong motive in verse 2. He says, "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet." Looking for attention doesn't get the job done before God. When we're looking for people's approval, praise from people, this is what Jesus said, it's not fully reaching Him. So again, when you sound the trumpet, this refers to impressing or having an attracting notice. Like the Pharisees went out deliberately to be seen of men and for people to say, "Wow, these people are really super religious. They don't only dress religious, but they speak it publicly, showing off." And I think we get the word in America, tooting one's own horn. You ever been around the tooter of one's own horn? Do-do-do-do-do, look at me, look at me. This is what we used to say when we were kids. A little chuckle out of that, but it's true. Look at me, everybody. I'm real good. This is what, when we were children, this is what we would say sometimes. But the thought that I have is, motives matter more than actions at times. Why we do what we do in life when we give. Yes, it's a good thing. The Pharisees gave. There was no doubt that they gave more than a tithe at times. They at least gave their tithe. There was some money being given. The point is what was the motive for doing so? And so when we give, when we pray, when we fast, that's that. This part of this chapter, this sermon, he's saying, do it not blowing your own horn, not to be seen of people. He says, as the hypocrites do. Goodness, none of us want to ever be seen by God as a hypocrite. Though, again, back in Greek days, I don't have it up here, but there was theater, and the Greeks would go up, because they didn't have TV or radio to listen to. People would go to these theaters and see acts, and really they were just trying to be someone who they weren't. So at the time Jesus talks about the Pharisees don't do what they do hypocritically, it says that they were trying to be an actor, making a show, a performance routine, going through this performance rather than righteously living it out genuinely before God. That's what it was referred to. A hypocrite was someone that really wasn't who they were. In fact, it also can refer, if we study out the Greek and we look at those times when Jesus uses this word, not to be like the hypocrites, it's a person who would, a wearer of masks. One who pretends, Jesus says, to be spiritual, to be a spiritual person. We come to church to be spiritual while their heart is far from God. And this is the thing that I want to emphasize. Being spiritual means to do things secretively for God first. We're not here to impress each other of how awesome we are, but how awesome God is. And so, in Matthew 15, Jesus lays it on out again, where religious people, and he's discussing this over religious people of his day. I don't know what he would say to us, but I can say this. He did tell them, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So all of what we do is important to God. Jesus says, they've received their reward. Well, how can a hypocrite get a reward? They have exactly what they wanted. Attention toward self. I mean, I emphasize, look at me, look at me. That's a hypocrite in its fullest. A person who wants attention upon themselves. Praise from men and nothing more comes from that. The Pharisees did it well. People said, well, these guys, if they're not getting it done right, how are we going to get it right? They're the religious ones. They know the old law of the Bible. They're the ones that are teaching us how to be godly. And yet Jesus said, those are the guys that were looking for their own attention. And their reward was a temporary reward. They've got the reward. That's what Jesus said. You got a reward. You're going to get a... But you know what? It's a temporary. Temporary. It only is while you're alive. That's the reward a person gets who looks to satisfy and please themselves religiously. And you don't have a future reward from God in that character or acting. So that is the wrong motive. Verse 2. Now we have the right motive. What is our motive? Well, for a Christian, God values, even as we took the Lord's Supper and it's commanded to give, both here in the congregation, but even to Jesus when you give to the poor. I mean, in the synagogues, yes, as we give a contribution to God today, but in the streets, these people were tooting their horn and people were noticing, wow, these people really give a lot of their lives, their finances to other people. They're just getting it done right. But Jesus still says they were doing it to please people. So God values your sacrificial giving. Giving in secret to the needy and to Him. And each one must give as he's decided, as David shared when we took the communion, because the collection, because you think about it, you have to decide in your heart why you're going to even do and give. For what reason? we can't be reluctant to do it. You have to really truly decide, I am going to serve the poor. Now, I'm not, and this is the thing, we're not tooting our horns when we think this way. We're trying to do what Jesus says. Jesus is very clear that there's going to be giving to people around us if we are true followers of Him. That's a give me. That's something we see in the Scriptures. How much do we give? Nobody can say. Jesus doesn't even say how much we should pray or how long we should fast for. But there's something about that. Not under reluctance when we give, and not under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. So you think about God in heaven. God doesn't need anything from us. In fact, He gives us everything we need. But when we give to others, the poor, the needy, God loves that. God loves a cheerful giver. God's reward is eternal life. I mean, simply said, eternal life at the day of judgment. You know, these private acts done in secretively are going to benefit us on the day of judgment. Now, we're not saved by how good we've given or how much we've prayed in our lifetime or how long we fasted or when we fasted. But these are character qualities of those who would be in Jesus' kingdom, carrying that out. Giving, praying, and fasting. So, your genuine efforts will be rewarded by our Heavenly Father. When you genuinely put your heart out to think of meeting the needs of somebody else that's needs, there are poor among us. We're not in a third world country, but there are still people that are really in need. Keep your eyes open to help somebody. A little helping hand goes a long way. Jesus' guideline for maintaining humble giving is from a pure motive. I don't think there's anything fancy to that. We have to have a pure motive of why we do anything as Christians. Jesus didn't teach us, again, if we give. He didn't say if we pray. Neither did He say if we fast. So if we put all this together, He says when we give, when we pray, when we fast, we're going to be doing it as His disciples. Generously, generosity is a willingness to surrender earthly security for heavenly reward. There is a sacrifice to this life. As Christians, we are told to give. It's nothing we should be ashamed of. If you have a dollar, maybe you can only give 10 cents. The whole idea of giving is to give something to somebody. Do something. Do something. Don't hold back. Jesus' teaching giving is not presented as an option. Well, if you give, just do the best you can. He expects it in His kingdom. This is the point here. It's expected for the rest of our lives, I say, on this earth. That's Christians are givers. We're givers because this world isn't our home. And then He says, which is interesting, because when we're young Christians, maybe we're smarter than I was, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What a challenging thought there. But again, it's all about keeping ourselves humble. Not letting our left hand know what our right hand is doing. It's by faith. You're not wrapped up in, oh man, I gave a lot. You can't go back and take back what you gave. You can't leave regrets. That's why God loves a cheerful giver. Goodness, you can't just go back and say, if I would have just kept all that money, I could have had a brand new car, a brand new house. See the point? God loves a cheerful giver, and we're doing it humbly. You cannot look back of what you've given. And the right motives ensure what we do in the life for others points them to God. Let your light shine. This isn't a boast time. It's about letting people say, wow, these people are givers, not for themselves to be seen, but for God. This is a church of Christ. This is a church that reaches out to meet the needs of the poor. It's biblical. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Secret acts demonstrate our sincerity to glorify God. The things we do are to glorify God. And then the fourth point is the Father's reward. Isn't it amazing how Jesus says, your Father who is in heaven will reward you. Your Father. Can we see God as a Father? God sees everything in secret. All of men's secrets. You think about all the secrets we've had in our lifetime collectively. God sees every person's secrets. But that's a good thing. If we're doing righteous acts in secret, that's perfect. Because that's what God's pleased with. The things we do in secret for Him. And Jesus does contrast the secret acts of righteousness, giving to the needs of others, which is right here in 1 through 4, with public displays meant to impress people. Again, you only receive your reward on this earth. There's a lot of givers. Let's not be ignorant that there are multi-millionaire businessmen that have no desire to please God, but they do give a lot of money to the poor. Well, what's the difference? I think it's the heart behind all of what we do. It really is. He says He'll bring into light what is hidden in darkness, and He'll expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Again, of course, when we stand before God, we're going to be exposed for why we did what we did. Why did we give? Who did we give that to? What was the reasoning for it? Did we just give it out of reluctance and compulsion, or did we give the contribution to God's church because it's like writing a check for any other thing, like a bill, an electric bill? Oh, I got to put the... See the heart there? The motive is important. Because God, it says they will receive their praise from God. The praise from God is on the day of judgment when we stand before God and He says, well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. That's the praise from God. And the invitation is simple, and I pray that this was short and sweet. And Jesus did teach there was two rewards for good deeds. An earthly reward. Those who are given to be seen by people have already received their reward in full. That's as far as it goes. And in John 6, well, in our heavenly reward, those who will give for God's will, He promises an eternal reward. That's the second reward, the heavenly reward. I don't know about you, but when I look at the options, and I love the Bible because not only does Jesus tell us how to live, He gives us the options of how we choose we're going to live. And I like the heavenly reward better than the earthly reward. But I will say, it's interesting how it's a treasure in heaven. And we'll talk about that a little later in the chapter. But in John 6:40, Jesus says, I'm going to bring my reward with me to Him. And so, we can never outgive what God has given us in His Son. Even financially, or every good and perfect gift does come from God. Anything we have is from God. Our clothing, just being able to live life and breathe is from God. But we can show God in the way we give that it's for Him. Anything we do to give to somebody else is given to Him, right? Jesus said, whatever you've done to these least of mine, you've done to me. And that's a big deal too. So give to God first, and bring Him glory. That brings God glory when we give to God first in everything we do. That's why we're here on the Lord's Day, to go to Him first, to show Him He's the priority of all of why we do what we do in life. Jesus said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. And I'll raise him up at the last day." A couple quick questions. Are you looking to the Son of God for eternal life? That's where eternal life comes from, the Son of God, only in Him. And do you want a great reward in heaven? I would think we'd all want the great reward in heaven, because the alternative is just why we're here. This is the best it's ever going to get. This is the best reward we're going to get, just being alive. We want to be able to have this reward in heaven. It's the hidden life of a follower of Jesus. That hiddenness, that secret action that we do before God, the righteousness that exceeds that of the religious people, the Pharisees and the scribes, who were trying to please people over God. So this morning, if there's anyone here that has truly lived their life not to please God, please come forward. If you have not responded to the gospel message, it's a very simple one. Jesus said to those who are in Him to go make disciples of all nations, to baptize them into the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. He said that they would be to be taught this, teaching them everything I've commanded you, and surely I will be with you always, Jesus said, to the very end of the age. Jesus is with those who teach people the gospel message, to teach them to repent, to be baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, when we do this, He will be with us to the very end of the age. So don't ever give up giving. And if anyone's not a Christian, please come forward as we sing the invitation song.